Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have been sparring and sniping with one another from afar for months now. Monday night, they'll be able to do it face-to-face at the first of three presidential debates. It takes place at Hofstra University on Long Island in New York. NPR's Brian Naylor reports on what we might expect.
Debates have been a mainstay of presidential campaigns, it seems, forever. But that's not quite the case. The first general election debate didn't even occur until 1960 in a Chicago TV studio.
The candidates need no introduction. The Republican candidate, Vice President Richard M. Nixon, and the Democratic candidate, Senator John F. Kennedy.
Monday's debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump will take place on the 56th anniversary of that first debate. NBC's Lester Holt will moderate, and there's already been a lot of talk about how he'll go about it. Should he be fact-checking the candidates' answers? The co-chairman of the Commission on Presidential Debates, Republican Frank Fahrenkopf, doesn't think so.
So if candidate A says something that is wrong or inconsistent with what they've done or said in the past, it's not the moderator's job to say, hey, candidate A, that's not what you said last week. That's for candidate B to do. That's what a debate is all about.
Bob Schieffer agrees. The former CBS News anchor moderated three presidential debates. He told a panel discussion at the University of Notre Dame recently how he approached the task.
I think the role of the moderator is to be the referee. It's not to be a judge. You're trying to conduct a discussion that, you know, gives people a fuller understanding of what these people think on various subjects.
Monday's 90-minute debate will be divided into three parts: the direction of America, achieving prosperity, and securing America. The candidates will stand at podiums. In at least one previous debate, that was a sticking point leading up to the event. In 1986, there was a rather big height disparity between Republican George H.W. Bush and Democrat Michael Dukakis, as Fahrenkopf recalls.
Bush was 6'2", and Michael Dukakis, on a good day, was 5'6 or 5'7". And what we did then is we built a pitcher's mound behind the Dukakis podium. So when he was standing at the podium, the top of the podium hit him at the same level as it hit George Herbert Walker Bush.
Sometimes debates are turning points. In 1984, Ronald Reagan's age became an issue after he seemed unfocused during the first debate. In the second, though, he nimbly turned a question about his age to his advantage and a jab at his Democratic challenger, Walter Mondale.
I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Debates can also provide lasting images that can reinforce perceptions of a candidate. In 1990, George H.W. Bush was criticized after he glanced at his watch during a debate as though he had somewhere better to be. In 2000, Democrat Al Gore's theatrical sighs while listening to Republican George W. Bush were mocked. And 4 years ago, there was this awkward response by Republican Mitt Romney to a question about hiring more females in government.
I went to a number of women's groups and said, can you help us find folks? And they brought us whole binders full of women.
Will there be any such memorable moments on Monday? We'll see. It's expected to be one of the most widely watched debates ever on TV, with millions more streaming it on their portable devices. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.